morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today's Friday, March 20th. That's Nowruz, Zoroastrian New Year, 2009. And this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Now the feds have come on board with Oregon on appealing FERC's ill-conceived Bradwood LNG approval.
Bonuses aren't the only corporate hanky-panky. Many of these same beneficiaries haven't paid taxes for a while.
The House passes a bill to tax the people who got the bonuses, but will the legislation serve only to stampede an already nervous herd?
Portland area weather, rain in the north, highs in the 50s. Tonight, a chance of showers, lows in the mid-30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, wet with isolated thunderstorms and a little cooler.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Oregon Attorney General John Kroger says the U.S. Department of Justice has joined Oregon in appealing the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's approval of the proposed Bradwood Landing liquefied gas terminal on the Columbia River. My guest, Dan Sears of Columbia Riverkeeper, has been fighting the LNG menace for many years and joins us this morning to talk about this latest development. Good morning, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
Morning, Chris.
So, this is yet another, well, this time it's the feds are getting on board with the efforts to stop Bradwood from being developed. What does it mean? Where do we go now?
Well, it's very significant that a federal agency is challenging the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's approval of the Bradwood project. They're not alone in seeing the decision as flawed. They're joining Oregon, the state of Oregon, the state of Washington, and other groups, obviously, like Columbia Riverkeeper, who think that FERC's decision to approve Bradwood just defied common sense and defied the law. So what NMFS is doing, the National Marine Fisheries Service, is they're standing up and they're arguing that, you know, the federal law is not being followed by FERC's decision. So this will be decided by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in the next, hopefully, several months.
And pending that appeal, can Northern Star start working at Bradwood?
We don't think so. Bradwood lacks necessary approvals, not just from, not just because they have a license that's under challenge by a federal agency, but also because they lack necessary approval at the state level. So we're going to be watching closely to make sure that Bradwood doesn't try to move forward with moving any ground. We think that the project isn't viable as proposed, and we're definitely going to be looking at the Ninth Circuit to overturn the very ill-conceived approval of the Bradwood project by FERC.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Dan Sears of the Columbia Riverkeeper. Again, thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you, Chris.
Former Oregon State University marine biologist Jane Lubchenco is the new head of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration as of yesterday. She said science, not politics, will guide the agency as it confronts global warming, declining fisheries, and forecasting natural disasters. Lubchenco expects her agency, which is part of the Commerce Department, to play a role in creating jobs in coastal areas where half the country's population lives and developing a green economy.
But we're still not out of the wilderness. So for the second time this year, the Senate has passed a long-delayed bill to set aside more than 2 million acres in 9 states as protected wilderness. The 77-20 vote yesterday sends the bill to the House, where final legislative approval could come as early as next week. The Senate first approved the measure back in January, but the House rejected it last week amid a partisan dispute over, wait for it, gun rights. The gun issue is not raised during the Senate debate.
You want the good news? The Portland area's growth put the region on a track to add 1 million people in the next 20 years. Thanks to the recession, growth is expected to slow, and if we're very lucky, even stop. But look out, because here come the climate change refugees. Metro economist Dennis Yee still believes the greater Portland area will add 1 million people by 2030 and will double in population by 2060.
Someone has gone and shot the bluebird of happiness, and it's us. Researchers were shocked when they counted breeding tufted puffins along the Oregon coast last summer, from well over 6,000 puffins back in 79 to a rough count of just 142 last year. The decline mirrors some of the grim news in a report released by the Interior Department showing that almost a third of the 800 bird species in the United States are endangered or in decline from habitat loss, invasive species, and to climate change. And need we ask what we refer to by invasive species? That would be us.
The Oregon legislature is considering the biggest suite of changes to the state's fabled bottle bill since it was adopted 38 years ago. The potential changes include doubling the nickel deposit, adding redemption centers that would take some of the load off of the grocery stores, and requiring deposits on more containers. But the changes won't come without a fight.
And it's not like this just turned up yesterday, but yesterday jurors in the W.R. Grace environmental trial in Missoula, Montana, heard evidence that a 1977 chest X-ray study of a group of Libby miners showed a high incidence of asbestos-related disease. Dr. Daniel Teitelbaum is a toxicologist who oversaw the study commissioned by Grace. He was paid by Grace, and he found the disease. Teitelbaum testified that Grace did not follow up on the chest study as recommended by his radiologists.
In Arlington, Washington, a woman accused of taking more than $73,000 from the church where she worked blames the devil. Papers filed with a theft charge Wednesday in Snohomish County Superior Court say Colin Okeson told detectives she guessed Satan had a big part in the theft.
The Lord take us and the Lord give it away. My guest this morning, live here in KBOO Studios, is an enlightened and enthusiastic proponent of sustainable systems, an investigative journalist and environmental activist. Gordon Mackay Westfall joins us on the air today to kick off a discussion of water in the Pacific Northwest. Greetings, Gordon. Welcome to the KBOO Airwaves.
Good morning.
Water, that's the big question.
Yes, well, water is a big question, and I was listening to an interview on Wednesday, the 2 days ago, and they were talking about the Willamette. And what really got my cry is that Ross Island is actually bringing dredge from a polluted, nuclear-polluted river, the Columbia River, and bringing it to the Willamette. So we really need to look at what we're doing to our water, and I just go, wait a second, what are we doing bringing pollutant from one place to another? And it's just, you know, dealing with the isotopes in one river is hard enough, you know, so...
As if the Willamette River needs any more pollution.
I know. It doesn't need any more pollution, and, you know, it's... We really need to work on... getting these guys responsible for what they're doing, you know, because we need to clean it up, not get it more polluted.
Well, what do you see the chances of? This is, of course, every Portlander's dream is to swim in the Willamette River right across, right at Waterfront Park. Any chance of that in the future?
Well, wouldn't that be nice? Well, it's the only thing swimming is the fish and the oil, really. And I do have to say that I do take an extreme stance on my water. I do believe that water might be it actually is one of the three most important things on the planet, the sun, the water, and the air. I mean, so what are we doing driving boats in our water and spewing more oil and mercury and carcinogens into our water when we should actually be keeping it healthy and clean, because that is our life force. That's mama's blood right there that we live off of. And so we really need to look at some of the stronger things to do about conserving and really protecting our most important resource on the planet.
My guest today has been Gordon Mackay Westfall of the Center for Sustainable Today. Gordon is going to be probably a regular guest on Air Cascadia. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much, and really protect the water.
The House approved a bill that would slap AIG and other beneficiaries of taxpayer largesse with a 90% tax. Of course, the tax would be on the employees, not the actual companies. We all know that corporations don't pay taxes.
President Obama and his Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner are taking plenty of hits over the millions of dollars of bonus payments. But one politician appears to be getting his own PR bonus out of the stink, Senator Ron Wyden. So does Wyden deserve the kudos that has come his way? And that, like any good politician, he has aggressively pursued. His amendment to this bill applied only to bonuses over $100,000, and companies that failed to comply would have been forced to pay back 35% of the excessive amount anyway. None of this has stopped Gordon from cashing in.
Some of the top recipients of U.S. bailout money owe the federal government more than $220 million in unpaid taxes, and these are just from the ones that were checked.
I mean to say Ron Wyden has, in fact, cashed in a public relations manner on the AIG bonuses and the bailouts in general. And now, corporate culture, what is it? Do we have any? Can we get some? What would it look like? Is it expensive, violent, shy? We know it smells bad because we can smell it from here. KBOO Spencer Raymond has been studying this strange bird for at least a week now. Good morning, Spencer.
Good morning, Chris. Yeah, it is. Excuse me. It is an interesting phenomenon here, and it's really been brought to light this week after the bonuses for the AIG executives were made public. And you know, we've always heard throughout this process the bonuses for these executives and this kind of corporate culture that has developed in the upper echelons of American businesses. And you know, when you think about it, these executives are operating on a different level than the regular middle class worker. That's clear. And what I think they've kind of established is once they have gotten to an executive position, once they're serving on boards, day-to-day work is not conducted as the same as most other people. And they are dealing with so much money, they're earning so much money, that they're almost detached from what the real world is actually like on a day-to-day working basis. And so what to the regular American may seem like an outrageous six-figure bonus, especially after a bailout, to them is just, you know, their annual, you know, bonus check that they would expect, you know, in good times or bad.
Yeah, they've become accustomed to its face, haven't they? Accustomed to its smile. So, Spencer, next week, any predictions?
Well, what's up next is the Senate is going to have to vote on the 90% tax for the bonuses. Remember, it was yesterday when the House voted to tax the AIG bonuses and bonuses from similar companies, 90%. The Senate has to weigh in. It's not clear if they're going to do exactly the same, but the outrage is not going anywhere. What is most interesting, I think, is that it's very clear that most of the American people are uncomfortable and angry about this, and the banks are starting to realize this. I mean, the AIG CEO has said that, you know, he recognizes Americans' frustration with this, and so it's kind of a new, there's a new kind of realization going on of what's actually happening inside these banks to a more detailed degree that we really haven't discussed before.
Well, thank you so much for that. It seems that we've been through General Motors, General Electric, and now it's probably time for a general strike. That, of course, was KBOO's reporter, Spencer Raymond. Thank you so much for that, Spencer.
In Iraq today. In Iraq today, thousands of followers of radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr called for an end to the U.S. occupation. Neither the Iraqi authorities nor the U.S. military marked the March 20, 2003 invasion. This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Friday, March 20, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Todd Wilson. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints. Youth speak out against the war and Palestinian legislator Mustafa Barghouti on the appointment of Avigdor Lieberman as Israel's foreign minister.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.